give us ears to hear and a heart to implement, hands to do, feet to get at it, and Lord, that we would live a faith that is really, truly obedient and active. And Lord, I pray tonight maybe that there's someone here or maybe someone listening right now that they don't quite see the dynamic to their Christianity. They're wondering, what's this all about anyway? And Lord, that you would just get them on that track, that rail of what you're doing in the world. We can watch the river go by, or we can get in it and take advantage of the flow of it. And I pray, Lord, that tonight we would all get in the river, as it were, and follow the Lord all the way through to the end. And Lord, that the topic tonight would not fall upon deaf ears. God, we pray that by your divine presence of your Holy Spirit, you would give us understanding. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and you know that it is the theme of our worldview series as we've been going through this teaching together, and we'll continue to go through it for a little bit longer. And each week we are covering a topic that everyone in some way, shape, or form is having to deal with, having to live with in their life. And this Wednesday night gang is predominantly, or a lot of college age students, a lot of young people, and we're happy about that. But you've been asking questions that in a real way has given birth to this series about, I love God and I love the Bible and I want to be a Christian, but man, the world is just chewing me up on campus. The world is chewing me up at work and in the world that I'm living in. And how does it all apply? And so we have the worldview series, meaning this, that we are studying as Christians the desire that we have to take the Bible out of our Sunday morning or Wednesday experience, even out of our day-to-day reading of the Word of God, and bring it from that place of devotion or study and put it into our daily living boldly, powerfully, out in the world where it belongs. Christianity by no means is to be placed under a bushel or a basket and to be sequestered from the world. Christianity is to be lived out in the world around us. Did you hear the news tonight? In Phoenix, Arizona, some people got together to do a Bible study, and a neighbor called and turned them in for having a Bible study. And the police came and arrested the owner of the home who was hosting the Bible study in his living room. He was arrested and taken to jail. Why? Because they said that he was hosting a Bible study in his house and that it was an unlawful assembly, and it's all the buzz, it's all the news. What in the world's going on? You know what? They didn't even get a chance to take Christianity outside their house. The world out there is anti-Christ, anti-spirit, anti-Christian, anti-God. But what does that mean to us? Do we run and hide? No. Listen, we let our light so shine before men. Acts chapter 17, Paul was letting his light shine there in Athens, Greece, when he was waiting for his ministry team, as you guys all know, to show up. He went and looked around, took a little field trip. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 22, it says, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, isn't that funny? How do you do that? Him I proclaim to you. Look at verse 28. For in him we live, move, and have our being. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Why? Because we live. It is the God of the universe, the creator God, the God that we worship. It's in him that we live. It's in him that we move. And it's in him that we have our existence. Young people tonight, listen. We are looking at a topic tonight that is very, very important to a lot of people. This was the number one emailed request. Please talk on this topic. We need help. And that topic tonight in our worldview series is dating. Dating. What do we do as Christians regarding dating? And now we've got Christian dating and ChristianMingle.com and Christian this and Spirit Holy Spirit dating service, and all of this stuff going on, and we've got all this stuff, and we want to get married someday, or I want to be married, and where do I go? What do I do? Dating. And then someone wrote and said, Pastor Jack, I'm dating someone. We're Christians. How much sex can we have while we're dating? I was like, what? But then I had to stop and think, wait a minute. Maybe they don't know much at all, and they haven't heard the Holy Spirit speaking to them. But listen, if that's you tonight, don't run out of here with your hair on fire just yet. Wait till the end of the service to run out of here with your hair on fire. No, listen, we want to absolutely come to you in the spirit of love, but rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That is the thing tonight. Don't think tonight that I'm your a father figure in a sense, or my dad must have paid you to say this, or boy, are you ancient, or how can you say that, or the other thing. Look, I understand that. Look, come on. First of all, I'm not feeding you. You don't live under my roof, and I'm not being paid to tell you this. So take that under consideration, will you? What we're going to be talking tonight is very important stuff. He said, how can you speak to us? When's the last time you went on a date, Pastor Jack? Actually, my wife and I went on a date last night. It's true. It is true. But I got to tell you, you're right. It's been 34 years since I've been on a date. And the last date, in fact, the last person I dated became my wife. And listen, someone you date is going to become your husband or your wife. Say, what? That's how it works. You are actually going to meet someone, get interested in them, and they'll eventually be your husband or your wife. So pay close attention tonight to what we're going to be talking about. Very important. By way of introduction, jot down in your margins, in your note-taking, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2, 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, men, listen to this. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, God's anesthesia. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to man. Mark that down. God brought Eve to Adam. He still does that today. Mark that down, single people. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mommy and be joined to his wife and shall become one flesh. That's an important statement. Amazing declaration. Listen, not the greatest source of information in the world, but I'm encouraged by what I read today. Dating. You type it in. Google it. Dating. Wikipedia. Wikipedia. Now listen to this. Wikipedia says dating is a form of courtship. That blew me away. That Wikipedia even knew what courtship was. Consisting of social activities done by two people with the aim of each assessing the other's suitability as a partner in an intimate relationship or as a spouse. While the term has several meanings, it usually refers to the act of meeting and engaging in some mutual agreed upon social activity in public together as a couple. I gotta tell you something, that is a very conservative definition of dating in comparison to our culture today. Kudos to Wikipedia. Some old guy must have wrote that. Did you hear what they said? That's pretty right on. I was surprised. As we look tonight, I'm going to ask you to pay close attention. And as we go through this, you're going to have probably more questions than having questions answered tonight. But it's going to stimulate and create a dialogue, maybe with the person you're dating, maybe with somebody that you will date. And this is an important night for all of us. Number one, as we look at our study tonight regarding our biblical worldview as Christians and about dating, Number one is this. Know who you are. Know who you are now that you're a Christian. Know who you are. I'm going to make a broad assumption that all of you are Christians tonight. And so know who you are. Number one, know that. Know this, that you are now a Christian and that God is your God. The Lord is your God. Jesus Christ is the really the king who reigns over your life, okay? That's what makes you a Christian. And this is very, very basic. But listen, we got to start basic here. Know who you are now in Jesus Christ. You are a born-again Christian. Born again. You're new. You've been recreated by the power, or you're being recreated in a sanctifying sense, in a practical way, every day by the power of God. Now, I want to shoot out to you this this warning, in a sense, or this disclaimer. I'm going to use some words tonight that I'm not normally prone to use because of the abuse on Christian television or Christian publication of what these words have become to mean. And that's sad. So let me be very careful. When I talk about know who you are now as a Christian, women, listen carefully. Men, listen carefully. You need to understand, number one, this, your incredible self-worth. Now, in most contexts, you hear that, and it's like, you are the number one. You know, you can tune into some shows, and you are the champion of your life. I'm not talking about you being the champion of your life. Jesus is the champion of your life. What I'm talking about is God's love and value of you here tonight, who you are. Stop right there. I heard you in your mind. Think. You're thinking that's true for everybody else, Pastor Jack, except me in this room. It's easy for us to see that value on someone else, but not ourselves. Why? Because we know too much about us, don't we? The truth of the matter is, warts and all, God loves you. And Jesus Christ, remarkably, theologically accurate, would come and die on the cross all over again for you. And I'm not trying to pump up your self-ego and all that kind of stuff. That's not necessary. I'm just telling you tonight that, number one, we begin with this, that your worth and value is key to understanding that God has a plan for your life, that God cares about you, and that you are extremely valuable in His sight. This is key. This takes faith. Is this not basic? And yet, if you can't get this under your belt or in your heart, then I don't know how you're going to believe anything else regarding the Bible. If you don't believe and understand that God loves you, that's His nature to love you. You say, yeah, but I'm not very lovable. That may be true, but God loves you. I've been a very bad person all my life. God loves you. Does He want you to stay a bad person? Listen, no. Does He want to fix you, change you? Yes. Will you hear the truth tonight about how you ought to live your life from the Word of God? Yes. Will you be tempted to get angry? Yes. Know this. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say it. Very important you understand that. In Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image. This is how important you are. According to our likeness, our moral makeup. Verse 27 says, Genesis 1, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So know who you are. Number two, know what you are now. Know that. Know what you are. The Bible says, we just read it, male and female, listen, attraction is normal. Do you understand that? Christianity, I don't know what the deal is. It's a strange thing. I had someone tell me not too long ago, he said, I would never become a Christian. And I said, why? Well, for one thing, you guys can only have sexual relationship with one another when you're going to have a kid. And outside of that, you can't touch each other. And I said, where did you get that from? Well, that's the way I was brought up. I said, I don't care how you were brought up. You were brought up wrong. That's weird. That is absolutely weird. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. And I understand where that guy was coming from. His exposure to the so-called Word of God led him to think how unnatural it would be and is to his view of God that a male and a female, husband and wife, are only to come together when they say, well, you know, it's about that, you know, it's been 3 years. It's time to have another kid. If that's his view, I understand. I agree with him. What is that? What is that? But that's not it. Male-female attraction is normal. How we manage it is another thing. We are to be trained. We are to be schooled. Young girls, young ladies, tonight, listen up. How you are brought up in your home dictates and paints a picture as to how you will live your life in your adult years. You might say tonight, Pastor Jack, don't tell me that. That's scary. I didn't grow up in a very good home. Listen, I understand that. But let me tell you something. You have been created in the image of God, and that means God has made you incredibly, what's the word? Recoverable, renewable, restoration. That's what he does. Many of you have been gawking at my 1967 Volkswagen that has been restored. It's just the world's most beautiful Volkswagen ever. And what makes it so cool is that the precious guy who put this thing together put his heart into it, and it's as it was or probably better than the day that car was ever born in Wolfsburg, Germany in 1967. How does that happen? Isn't it amazing that God has put the skill or the appreciation in the human heart for restoration? What is done with a car, don't you think that God can do with your emotions, with your psyche, with your soul? Don't tonight think, I've been so battered, so abused, so mistreated, this can never work for me. Listen, God is more powerful than all of that. God is stronger than all of that. God can overcome all of those things. And so listen, much of our lives we try to hide the pain and hide all that stuff. Listen, often men grow up to become violent because they were either not appreciated or abused as a child. And women, listen, who are mistreated, they often throw themselves physically at someone, not because they want to be loose, not because they want to be promiscuous, but oftentimes it's like what Cy Rogers said years ago right here in this pulpit. He said, you know what, how could somebody become a homosexual, Cy Rogers said, as he did. He said because he grew up in such a wicked, horrible home, was sexually abused so bad as a child, that he concluded bad love is better than no love. And many of you have settled for bad love. And God tonight is saying, I've got a better way for you. You've got to understand that God is for you, not against you, that God wants to change you, not crush you. And he's all ready. He's got his power tools. He's got everything that's needed. He's awesome. Listen, it's not in the notes. It's a freebie tonight. Philippians 1:6, the Bible tells us this, that God will complete that work which he has started in your life. He'll complete it. He is so good to do that and will not give up on that. Male-female attraction, first of all, recognizes normal. And it's blessed by God because he made us to be attracted to the opposite sex. But there's also the responsibility and a way that attraction is to be managed and harnessed. Young people, listen. Your music, your TV, your movies say, go, do it. Throw off all restraint and go for it. And I want you to think for a moment. Do you really honestly believe that that's the right thing to do? Think for a minute. Do you really honestly believe that? Well, it feels good. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for how long? A season. It's not going to last. It will have its payment, its wages, that's for sure. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Did you know that God owns your elbow? That elbow belongs to God? You know, when I pray for sick people, I always say, Lord, this is your temple that you dwell in. This is your body, Jesus. And I pray that you would heal this person, that they might get back at serving you. Did you know that your body belongs to God? If your elbow belongs to God, then the parts that we're not going to mention here publicly, don't you think those belong to God too? Absolutely. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what the latest rapper says or the latest thing is. You need to honestly think. Look, you're smart. Think it through. Follow it through. Oh, come on, man. Let's go do this. And, you know, everybody's doing that. You know how long we've all been hearing that? I think the only time that didn't happen is when Satan said, you know, everybody's doing this. There's nobody else around, but he would have used it if he could. But from that time on, it's, oh, go ahead and take a bite. You'll love it. And you know, when Satan speaks into our lives, he says, oh, come on, God is gracious, God is forgiving, it's okay. And if you cross the line, he'll forgive you. And the moment you cross the line, he says, you rat, you're condemned, you're coming down to hell with me, God will never forgive you, you big loser. Have you noticed that? He's a great devil. He's the best devil that there's ever been. That's what he does. And we are much easier to be condemning of ourselves than to accept God's plan for our lives. Understanding this, that physical attraction toward the opposite sex is absolutely normal. Why? That's how God has established it. It's how it's managed. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight. We're going to race through the first points up front and then spend a lot of time on the end one. Point number three is this. Know what you want regarding dating. You say, what do you mean? We're talking to believers tonight. Now, I'm going to make a grand assumption here, okay? Parents, listen carefully. Parents, tune in. We are hearing statistics that in the United States of America, we don't know how firm these numbers are, but some 50% of fifth graders are saying that they either have been exposed to sex or that they're having sex. 50%. How old is a fifth grader? 10 years of age. I didn't even think that was physically possible. 10 years of age? Are you kidding me? Let's pray that that statistic's wrong. But more than ever right now, parents are needed in America and in your home. Parents, listen up. If you have a child living in your home, under your care, under your love, under your roof, do you understand something? You are the parent. You are under orders by God to love them and to take care of them. Do you know what that means? That means you are to guide them, instruct them, and lead them in the way of righteousness. You are to protect them from all other dangers and wickedness. You are to defend their innocence. You say, my kid's in my house. He's 20 years old. He's in your house. And you lay down the loving rules, mom and dad, and you communicate your love to them in all areas like that. But listen, if you're 16 years old and your parent says to you, or parents say to you, you are not dating, you're 16 years old, you can't even take out the trash cans, and you want to date? Do you understand? Listen, you got to sit that kid down and say, you cannot date. You cannot do this. You say, how can you say that? You want me to say it again? I'll repeat it. Do any of you remember being 13, 14, 15 years of age? It is a dangerous world, man. Your body's screaming all kinds of new things that you've never experienced before. And it's crazy wild, but you have the emotions of a 9-year-old or 6-year-old, and you've got adult things happening to your body, and it's crazy. And more than ever, you need a parent to say, whoa, boy, whoa. More than ever. And parents today are backing off, and they're being quiet, and they're saying things like, well, boys will be boys. And that is wrong. When we talk about dating, we are talking about a specific Western practice. Much of the ancient world, or much of the older world, don't practice dating. Do you know that? It's funny because as people get older, they see the wisdom in arranged marriages. So I can't believe he just said that. Well, I'll just say this. I mean, My daughters had arranged marriages. I don't know if you know that or not. So you're kidding me. Yeah, Lisa and I started praying for their spouses before these girls were ever born. It was totally arranged by God the whole time. And we even prayed, Lord, Just keep certain things from their hearts. Don't even give them that curiosity as they're young. Young parents today, man, you pray for your kids. You pray hard for your kids. But when we talk about know what you want, I'm just going to lay this down very simply. Do you want your will to be done in your life and for your life? Listen, or do you want God's will to be done? And the older you are, it's easier to say God's will. But if you're 18 right now, you're going, I mean, on the outside, I say God's will, but on the inside, I'm screaming. Yes, we understand that. But God has an absolute plan for your life. And God, listen, if you will trust God, you are in an age zone from 13 to maybe 25 that I think should be the time of your most fantastic spiritual investment for your life that you can do. You've got the time. You've got the energy. You can invest in the things of God. But listen, you need, as a Christian, I'm talking about Christian tonight, you're confronted immediately with, is this what I want or is this what God wants? And ask yourself, read the Bible, what does God want for your life? He wants you blessed, healthy. He wants you well. He wants you loved, and he wants you to be able to love. I'm setting you up for something here. Listen carefully. Being single, this is going to come as a shock to our culture. Being single doesn't mean you go around having sex with everybody. Man, I'm not married. The things we hear as pastors. I didn't commit adultery. I'm single. I'm with a bunch of people. Oh, that's called fornication, dude. What are you doing? He said, oh man, you're telling me no. Thou shalt not. How about thou shalt get to live? You want to know why? Look at prolonged sex practices outside of God's prescribed manner and look at the duration or the life expectancy. Go look at the National Health Institute or the Center for Disease and Control. Look it up online. Look at the diseases people experience. Oh man, you're quenching me out, dude. God is saying, I invented it. Those body parts, God says, I engineered it. And it's to be used a certain way and connected to the body parts is the most important part. Your spirit. It's extremely designed by God to establish a continuity in a relationship that when a husband and wife come together emotionally, spiritually, physically, it builds a huge wall around that marriage and it makes it invincible against the things of this world. It's protection. It's awesome. So you need to know what you want. Tonight, look, no one's going to follow you home and put you in a headlock. No one's going to beat you up. You're going to choose what you want to do. And I'm telling you tonight, dating, I think you should be of a certain, I'm not even going to say age. I think as a Christian, you should pray, Lord, is it time for me to start dating? You guys, years ago, Elizabeth Elliot spoke in this church, and she said, and I've never forgotten this. She said, don't tell anybody you love them with your mouth. Don't tell them, don't say, I love you, until the next word out of your mouth can be, will you marry me? Why? See, oh, that's silly. I know, but see, you and I are living in a world where we throw things around. We throw stuff around. Can you imagine if you say to someone that you've been interested in and things are coming along and you guys are growing deeper in revelation and God's word and God's will for your life, you're getting stronger, and then someone says, you know, I got to tell you something. I want to say something. Imagine the value of this when you've known such a person. I love you. Will you marry me? Think of the sacredness of that. But see, in America, we go, I love hot dogs. I love fish tacos. I love you. Oh, I love that. Right? We need to be careful and wise. I'm sure I sound like a dinosaur tonight, but you say, well, what, you know, if you're single, are you saying that you shouldn't have sex? Yes. Yes, I am. Well, aren't you just proving that guy's point from 5 minutes ago? No. Because Christians, a husband and wife Christian couple, they should because they're walking in the Spirit of God, they're loving one another, then the Word of God, they're serving God, they have fellowship one with another, they're walking in the light. Listen, you can't have a relationship like that with a husband and a wife, and then everything is, you know, ice cubes in the bedroom. That love just carries right on over all the time. Was that a big enough hint to all you guys? Did you get that part? Okay, Christians should be very active people. You know what's amazing about the time and the age in which we live in? You talk to young people today, and they are oversexed, overexposure. Dating to them is like, what? It's broken down so much. The things have gotten so free, so out there, so bold. Just this last week, we heard of a school dance where there were sex acts going on. What in the world? It's just out there. But that shouldn't surprise you, because there's things called sexting. There are things on the web. There are things, being tweeted. There are things being, you name it, the exposure. But you know what's encouraging to me, you guys, right now? Is for those of you who are old enough, do you remember? I mean, I was a little kid when the 60s drug revolution, free sex, hippiedom broke out all over California and then swept the nation. It was kind of scary. I mean, I watched my sister go through that scene, and it's kind of scary. But I'm excited because that wound up leading to this movement. Watch. It was rejection of parental authority, embracing drugs in that case, partying, sex, breakdown of relationship, free drugs, free sex, free everything, no commitment. We're free. And people began to be bound by drug addiction, by sexual addictions. They were worn out. They were tattered and devastated. They came to the end of themselves. Materialism didn't mean anything to them anymore. Power didn't mean anything. The economy didn't mean anything. They were dead while still living. And guess what happened? God began to move in Southern California, began to save hippies. People were stoned in parks on dope, hearing the gospel and getting saved and sobered up. In 1 second, miracles were happening. People couldn't get into Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. The line was out the building. Look at the photos of what was going on in the late 60s and the 70s. It was amazing. Why? What happened? People began to wake up that this stuff can't be good for us. This is killing us. And it did kill a lot of people. But some people woke up. And by the way, it made history. More pastors and more churches came out of that revival than any other time of recorded human history. And it's still happening. And that's just from one church from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Over 2,000 churches came out of that. That's pretty amazing, let alone other movements of God. I'm encouraged by the dark hour that we're in, because I'm hoping tonight, maybe some of you young people tonight are saying, you know what, I'm sick of it. I'm so worn out and burned out on it all. God's got a great plan for your life, my friend. And that sounds cliché, but I'm telling you, it is absolutely true. I'm very excited about what could happen. But you need to understand how valuable you are to God. He owns your body. He designed the relationship of pouring your heart into somebody. We'll talk about the mechanics of dating here pretty soon. But you need to be very wise and very careful. Every guy is going to hate me for this. Men are programmed. Men are designed to build countries, to build cities. You say, a girl can be an engineer just as much as a guy can. No, I'm not talking about that. Men have to fight constantly. I'm sure it's a result of the fall to some degree. But we can be watching the World Series, and we don't even hear what our wife is saying to us. There can be, you can have the whole party in at your house. Oh man, you know what? One more strike and that's it. Oh, we're break for a commercial. And you know what? Your wife can walk by. And it's like, she's cute. She's cute. We're just designed that way. Women are not designed that way. Women, it's more thought process. It's more conversational. It's all this. We are different. You need to understand that we're different. And that has to be managed differently. And then there's the female side where she'll be listening or she'll be talking or the whole day her mind is in a different place and you're being nice to her and you're holding your wife's hand. And, you know, it's funny because guys go, well, you know, it's hot out here. She wants to hold my hand. It's hot. Okay. And it's like, all right. Oh, gosh, there's some of my friends from the gym. Hi, you guys. It's really, okay? And she's like this. And she's like this to her friends. What is going on? For her, it's all of this. And you say, well, that's in marriage, but what about dating? This is the danger of dating. There's some guy. Look, there's some guys, they ought not even to hold her hand. They can't handle that. See, what about kissing? That was one of the emails. What about kissing? What about it? I don't think guys can kiss. You don't. If you've never been a guy, you don't know what I'm talking about. You can't criticize me if you're not a guy. You just have to take this next 2 minutes right now. A guy cannot handle kissing. She's going to be, well, it was just nice, you know. He was not thinking nice. There is, I mean, it's. He can be watching that baseball game, and then if there's a kiss, and it goes, there's a change, like that. And you need to understand, listen, girls, you need to understand, guys are wired different, think different, and you're coming from another completely different worldview. And you're thinking that he's so sweet, he's so nice, and he might be a very nice guy, but let me tell you something. Nice guys, it only goes so far. They can only endure so long. And you need to know that. And, well, it comes to number four, priorities. Know what your priorities are. As Christians, if dating someone is your focus, my friend, then your emotions, your hearts, if that's what your, is that your big hunt? Oh, about who I'm going to date next. Your emotions, your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your spirituality is suffering. I'm telling you right now, it's suffering. Are you a Christian? Remember, the context tonight's Christian. You know why it's suffering? Is because you can have one of two things going on in your life. You can have a self-determined pursuit where you look at someone and you might be tempted in your mind, I've got to have her, or I've got to have him. Number one, are you a Christian or not? You can't think like that. You can have the thought, but the Holy Spirit says, and within, I'm talking this whole process right now, I'm talking this takes place in nanoseconds of time. Whoa! Whoops. And you hear God say, hey, you should make a covenant with your eyes like Job did, not to look upon a woman with lust or a man with lust. Make a priority. You got to make a choice. Now, the young people don't understand because of the culture that they've been brought up in. I can't believe this. I can't believe I'm hearing this. And all I'm saying to you is remember tonight. I pray that you would apply the things that you hear and are going to hear tonight. But remember tonight. Because you might wake up someday saying, why didn't I listen that night? Oh, man. The devastation of even well-intended guys crossing the line, and now the girl is pregnant, and he's nowhere to be found, or he can't do a thing about it. He's 15 years old. Do you understand? Their lives are forever, forever changed. No going back. For a momentary, what? Victory? Pleasure? Bragging rights? I just wanted to be accepted. That's why I started with your value. Do you get it? That if you understand how much God loves you, you will not have to find acceptance in anyone else's life. Listen, I don't know how to tell you this. I hope it comes across right. Lisa and I have been married 33 years, and I think there are many reasons why our marriage has worked, but one of the main reasons, we understood this from the beginning. We heard it from somebody before we got married in our courtship. It was, don't expect her to make you the happiest man on earth, and vice versa. That's not what she was created for, and he was not created for that. Both of you were created to be brought together that God would make you holy people, devoted to God people. Because listen, if you're thinking, gosh, I mean, I've got to have her. She makes me the happiest person on earth. I know what you mean in the Hallmark card. I know that. But if you're saying I have no existence without her and she has the power to crush my world, I don't know what you're talking about. You hand somebody that right. Do you understand that? You give somebody that power. No one's supposed to have that power over your life, but God only. I'll do anything for you. Please don't break up with me. Don't leave me. I'll do anything. Wait a minute. Have some dignity and have some faith in God and stand up and say, listen, I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to go there on that stuff. I'm going to follow the Lord. If you want to follow the Lord, come with me, but I'm not going to do that thing. And if she doesn't like it or if he doesn't like it, then let them know that they're walking out on the greatest person for them that could be. What makes you great? Following God. It's absolutely true. They're self-determined pursuits or they're self-disciplined passions. That's right. You can have passions that are under your, what's called, what the Bible calls self-control. Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These points, I pray, matter. Listen to this. I need to preface this next verse. It's amazing because of the push of the culture. Listen up, everybody. You're gonna say, what? What did he say? What? Listen. How long has the New Testament been around in print? Gutenberg Press rolled it off in English anyway. But Bible's been around a long time, so especially if you look at the Old Testament. You have 2,000 years of the new, thousands and thousands of years of the old. The Bible says God never changes. God says he's God. He knows what he's talking about. Why am I prefacing this? Because of the culture in which you and I live in. Listen to this. And you need to hear me all the way through on this. In fact, go ahead and put the verse up. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I want you to look at this and let's walk through this together. Because someone in here, maybe one person tonight that's going to be set free from what this verse unlocks. Paul says to the believers at Corinth, do you not know that the unrighteous, the word unrighteous is those who practice this life. This is what they do. This is what they want to do. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does anyone not know what that means? That's pretty clear. Do not be deceived, neither or no fornicators. Remember that guy I told you about said, I'm not committing adultery. I'm single. I can have sex with anybody I want. That's fornication. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, that's me. Then listen to what God is saying to you. Watch this. I'm not here to beat you up. God's word is given to us to set us free. Understand that right now. Remember your self-worth, your value. Fornicators, do you choose to be a fornicator? Or do you wait? Time magazine said that we cheat on our wives, it says, because we have that, it's in our DNA. We have an actual DNA component that makes us cheat on our wives. Time magazine. I'm not kidding. That's not true, by the way. So think of that. Sounds like God is holding fornicators responsible for their actions. If you're now hearing this for the first time, you need to say, man, what do I do? That's what I do. But I'm hearing this and hang on. Nor idolaters, worshipers of foreign gods. That could apply to anything. What's the next word? Adulterers. I was just born a fornicating adulterer, and you got to deal with it. How long is your marriage going to last? Nor homosexual, says the Bible. But what? The Bible says it's a choice that you make. You say, well, you know what? But I understand. But it's a choice you make. You choose. You make the choice. You know it's wrong, and you know even biologically, scientifically, if you're an evolutionist, you know it's wrong. An evolutionist can probably talk about this better than me. It's destruction of the species. Physical union of the same gender kills that encounter. It kills them. Physically kills them to a life expectancy of 47 years. God says it's a choice. Sodomites, not even going to talk about that. Thieves, do you choose to be a thief? Or do you say, but Your Honor, I was born this way. All these are sins of choice. Covetous. Drunkards. You choose to do this. You may learn how to do this. You may grow up learning to deal with your problems doing this. But you are also being spoken to by God, isn't he? Talking to you, saying, you need to break from this. You need to get out of this. You need to cut this loose. He goes on. Revilers, violent guys. Extortioners, next verse. Will, supposed to be, will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the New Bible Version, published in Hollywood. And such were, isn't this good news? Listen to this. And such were some of you, Paul says. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let me tell you something. There's some sins in there that I'm not responsible for doing, but there's sins in there that we just read a moment ago that I am responsible for doing. We said, what was it? It doesn't matter. Jesus said, even if I thought the thought, God says, not good. See, you and I go, well, he came close, but he didn't. Or, true, you stand over there and take your clothes off, and I'll stand over here and take my clothes off. We'll never touch each other, and we'll still be okay. What's in the thoughts? What's in your head? Jesus says, if it's in your head before God, you've committed it because there's a world going on in your head. And every person knows this. If you sit there and entertain that stuff, it's like, this ain't good. This leads to things that are not good. Number five, know what your passions are. As Christians, it's God first. Kind of talked about that earlier. It's God first. I'm going to give you a couple of things, four of them. Write these down. We'll have to hurry. This is great. Number one, personally, these are my four shields. Look at me. One shield here, 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 and here. What are they? Get ready. Young people specifically, write this down. How do I find the love of my life or the person that I should begin to date? This should be a very, very well thought, prayed out decision. Not just, well, it's Friday night and I'm bored. You can get in trouble like that. You're a Christian. I'm talking to Christians. Pray and ask the Lord, is this something that I should be considering right now? Here it is, number one. Matthew 6, 33, 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Put that as your shield right there. Young people, write it down. That's Matthew 6, 33, 34, right there. Number two, next shield, Ephesians 3, 20. Young, listen, ladies, listen specifically. I hear this a lot from ladies. I'm just so tired of waiting. I'm just going to give up. Ephesians 3, 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Wait on God. Maybe my standards are too high. Maybe I'm waiting for Mr. Wait on God. Look to him who is able to do this amazing, miraculous thing. Well, when's he going to bring him anyway? In God's timing. Don't let down your guard, because then you'll let some knucklehead into your life. And let me tell you, that is a disaster. What did I ever see in this guy? Number three, next shield behind you. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What's the prerequisite? Delight yourself in the Lord. Next shield, final shield, Proverbs 3, 5, 7. Trust in the Lord, trust with all of your heart, and lean not, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own opinion, in your own eyes. Well, I talked to myself, and we decided this is the best thing to do. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Oh, come on, man. It's just going to be a few friends getting together. And you know what? Yeah, there's going to be some. Be careful. Women want to be loved, not lusted. Women want to be loved. What is that? Listen, men want to be respected. Women want to be loved. That means through being well thought of, honored, valued, appreciated. You say, well, what about men if they want to be respected? That means well thought of, honored, valued, and appreciated. Same thing. It's how it's applied in the relationship. Dating, if it's not done with the fear of God, will set you up for failure, set you up for broken hearts, set you up for a very, very miserable future, because the past has been one of this. Watch. First date, second date, third date, fourth date, you let out your heart, it gets crushed or broken, you reel it back in, then you meet somebody else, they seem to be a little bit different, maybe they're a little bit nicer, you let your heart back out again, not as quick as you did earlier, and it gets crushed and you reel it back in, and then you meet the third person and they seem super nice, very dependable, and then you let out your heart, not as much as you did before, but you let it, and it gets smashed again, and then you come along, and then eventually, you know, you hit 30 and you say, that's it, I'm sick of this, let's just get married. And then you got this baggage coming into the deal, and you don't let your heart out hardly at all, because it is so calloused and so beat up. And you say to yourself, maybe you don't even realize it, I am not going to ever have that happen to me again. When God has a plan, he will walk you through your relationships. He will do it, my friend. If he can't do that, how in the world can he save you from your sins? How can he keep you out of hell if he can't even get you through into a godly relationship? Let him be bigger. And here, we'll end with this. It's number six, if you're counting. Know how to present yourself. Know how to carry yourself. Know how to present yourself. What do you mean? I'm a strong believer in regarding what you believe. Either believe it or you don't. Make a decision. And make sure that your Christianity is the real deal. You should never apologize for being a Christian. Yeah, but he's a really cute guy, man. He's not a believer. That's his problem, not yours. You understand that? Girls, did you hear what I said? That's his problem. I want you to remember something. King David's daughters, they wore kingly apparel. They wore the king's garments. Did you know that? You could see King David's daughters walking around a mile away. They had these beautiful, colorful robes. What did that mean? That's the daughter of the king. You mess with her and you got David on your neck. Think of that. Can you imagine? Man, I think David's daughter's a cutie. Yeah, well, yeah, go talk to him. I'm not talking to him. Can you imagine? Christian girls, you're a daughter of the king. You're clothed in his righteousness. You're clothed in his glory. Remember that, because in our hearts tonight, this is a reality. What would you do in your life if you knew right now, tonight after service, what would you do in your life if you knew God was not watching you? What would you do? What would you do if you knew for the next 4 hours God would not be watching you? If in your heart you say, dude, live it up, let my hair down, go crazy, then that's who you really are. But if you say in your heart, I don't care if God's looking or not, because he is God, he knows everything. And by the way, I know that he never stops looking. Listen, because he's nuts about me. He loves me so much, he doesn't stop looking at me. One of those things is your reality. And I want to just end with this practical push, I guess. Jot them down if you would. I guess I wrote in my notes some fatherly advice right here. Guys, you need to maybe unlearn a lot of stuff you learned. I know that's true in my life. And girls, you need to find some source of encouragement. If it's not somebody in your life, you need to be reminded. Read God's word often about how valuable you are. So, men, guys, there's a life that you're to live that is a life of integrity. And, young lady, you are incredibly precious to God. And when two people like that are brought together by God, do you know what happens? A great thing happens. Their private, independent lives become unified lives, and whatever influence they had for Christ before radically gets magnified, and they have a ministry that flows out of their life's experience. That's what God wants to do with you. So, pray. Pray before you go on a date. Pray with your date. Can you imagine, Lord, we're going to go and have a good time tonight, and we just pray you keep us safe on the road and protect our friends that are coming or we're meeting us there, and we just ask you to bless our conversation, keep us pure. Can you imagine? 90% of your dilemma is over at that moment. Well, who's going to do that? The guys are supposed to do that. Number two, you're supposed to date only Christians, the Bible says. Where's that in the Bible? 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. There's a lot of yoking going on with non-believers. Yoking, it's terrible because when you're unevenly yoked, someone has to do all the work. Have you ever seen relationships where either the husband or the wife keeps the relationship together? They got to do all the work. They've got to keep it together. They got to tell him or her to be faithful. You can't go there. That wouldn't be right for the family. And she's or he is yoked to this ox, this donkey of a person. And it's horrible. You see the woman, she may have started out a godly woman having made the wrong decision. And she's 5 years into marriage. She's so tired from holding up knucklehead. Or he's been holding up, you know, whatever. It's terrible. The Bible says, hey, you want to be spared a bunch of grief? Take your body, which belongs to God, and don't yoke it to a non-believer. Wow. Is that brilliant or what? Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding, man. I mean, the Christian guys aren't asking me out. Well, again, that's their problem. Trust God. Trust God. You've heard me say this before, be impressed. I would ask somebody out on a date, young person, if you're impressed with their spirituality, their Christianity. I don't think you should marry anybody that you're not impressed with spiritually. Oh, he's got big muscles. That ain't it. He's got a lot of money. That's not it. Don't marry her, don't marry him, unless you're impressed with their spiritual walk with Jesus. Oh, you know what? I'll get him better after we get married. I'll turn him into a super Christian after we're married. Really? If you're so confident, turn him into a super Christian before you even go and get engaged. Become friends. What's wrong with being friends? I always tell people in counseling, oh, we're going to get married and we love each other so much. And I told you before, I asked them, great, great, Christians, yes, praise the Lord. So, have you had a really good argument? What? We're Christians. No, have you had a good argument? Why? Well, that's very important. What kind of mileage do you have with each other in the sense of, does she get upset? Can he say he's sorry? You don't know. But you want to marry them? You don't know what you're doing yet. Almost done. No secret agent dates. Secret agent dates. Look, I think if you're going to date, you should date with, you should go out with people, with friends. And if you want to be alone, then be alone somewhere publicly. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Man, I'm so glad he's not my dad. Hey, check this out. See how I'm totally on your bad side as it is already. In my life, not much good happened after midnight. Some guys are laughing. They're going, man, isn't that true? I remember that. Every fight I ever got in was after midnight. And every other thing I got involved in was after midnight. Think of that. I remember Lisa's dad, she had to be home before midnight. I'm not kidding. I thought that was awesome. I mean, I didn't like it, but I thought it was awesome. Be with people. Go out and let your friends, I think it's important that you let your friends meet the person that you're interested in. Friends who love you. So what'd you think? Let them talk to you. They're your friends. Every girl I brought home as a non-Christian, even as some Christian girls that I dated, and I came home, my mom would say, after she left, my mom would say, I don't like her. Well, you didn't even talk to her. I don't like her. That's not good. You should not see her again. I'm not kidding. Young people, listen to this. The day I brought Lisa to my parents' house, my mom and my dad, unrehearsed, my mom and my dad, after I took her home and I got back home, my mom and my dad said, don't let that one out of your sight. My mom and dad said that. I went, what? Isn't that amazing? God honors the place and the power and the position of a parent. Very important. So I end with this. The Bible says to flee youthful lusts. Run from these things that you know are wrong. It can spare you so much grief. Yeah, people are going to make fun of you. You know what? I'd rather be made fun of than have a very, very terribly compromised life. Men only I'm speaking to right now. Song of Solomon, verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 7 says, to us guys, do not awaken love until it's right. Men in this house should never get a girl excited or fired up or all that kind of stuff. You're not supposed to do that, guys. You're supposed to protect her from getting that way. If she says, oh, you know, you're so nice and you're so, come here, hold me. Say, just hang on a minute here. I think you're fantastic too. My man, you're amazing. You're beautiful and it's fantastic. And just watch out. Because you, girl, you know, I'm praying about this relationship and you need to be doing the same and I just want to make sure that you're protected. Can you imagine if a woman heard that today, that man was looking out for her best interest? The value she sees herself as to him? Just like Christ loved the church? The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, and this is our last thing, we'll say amen. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, good reputation, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And all God's people said, amen. Father, we pray tonight. This dynamic of relationship is so tremendous, and it in life is our most important journey, relationship. It begins with you. And then that spouse we will have in our life at some time, for most people, it will be the second most important relationship in the world. And then there'll be children, family, and on it goes. And I pray tonight, Father, that you would heal tonight those that are brokenhearted, those that see tonight that they're living a life that is aberrant to your will, and tonight they're being convicted, and they're realizing that you love them, and they're hearing that, they're feeling that from you, and they're saying, Lord, forgive me now even, and change my life. I'm scared. I don't have the power to break it off with him or to break it off with her in this physical sense. I need your strength. Maybe that's you tonight. Ask him, God, give me the strength to get this relationship right or to let it die. We don't even know what we're based on. Is it sex or is it spirituality? Is it physical drive or is it devotion? I can't even tell. Maybe tonight you're just reminded of a very bad past. And you just want to say to the Lord tonight, Lord, I just want to renew my covenant with you. Check all my bases, dear God, and make sure my life is right with you. For all of us tonight, remember, Jesus died on the cross for all our sins. And he rose again from the grave to give us eternal life. Entrance into heaven. Freedom from shame and guilt. How could you pass that up? Call upon Jesus. He loves you so much. Watch what he does with you. Father, we present our lives to you. Keep us safe. Keep us on the straight and narrow. Keep us looking up. In Jesus' name. Let's stand as we close.